to another edition of the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Special guests today, we have Evan Stofflett, just back into the United States from playing in Scotland. And we also have Phil Snyder. Phil, we're going to kind of get into your story. Evan, you're a guest, but you're also going to kind of be the co-host today.
Just hang out on the back burner, yeah. My man. All right?
We'll see how that goes.
So, Phil, on the intro music there, what do you think of that percussion? I don't know.
The percussion was first rate on that intro music, all right?
For those that don't know, Phil Snyder is now the drummer of the band American Hitmen. He just got finished opening for Journey, and we're going to get into that a little bit more. Evan, you just returned from Scotland.
Yes.
And then you went on quite a journey.
Yeah, we saw pictures from Cairo. And
yeah, nice little vacation.
You're like looking for the Holy Grail and whatnot. And
that was Jordan. That was when I was in Jordan. Yeah. Yeah.
That looked like quite a trip. You sure you make this minor league hockey look like a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. The Facebook magic.
Yeah, yep, always.
That's what it's designed for. Yeah.
All right, so Phil, you've got quite a story, and some people know some of it, and I think I've been, well, you and I have been best friends since college, and I just don't think I know your whole story. So I want to start kind of getting into where are you from? Where are you from?
I grew up in Salt Lake, well, bouncing around the valley, you know, like East Mill Creek, Sandy, stuff like that, until high school, and then I got shipped off to Shattuck St. Mary's in Faribault, Minnesota. Now, I want to add the caveat that I wasn't a discipline problem or anything like that. I was sent there because it's a good school, and my dad went there. He got sent there because he was a discipline problem. I got sent there because it was a good school.
I don't know that I believe that you weren't a discipline problem.
No, I actually so wasn't.
I've known you long enough to know there's got to be some discipline issues in there.
I think those developed later on.
So, and you went to Shattuck for 4 years, 5 years?
3 years.
3 years. And were you a hockey player before you went to Shattuck?
I was not. I grew up playing soccer like since I was 4 years old. So I went to Shattuck and played soccer. And then there's like, wait a minute, they got a rink here and all this ice time. I should probably try this out.
Yeah. So,
got the size for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you end up at Weber State?
Oh, okay. This is a good story. All right, senior year at Shattuck, where, you know, you're kids are applying to Yale and Harvard and whatnot. I looked at the Weber State admissions brochure, and it said 99% acceptance rate. And I was like, and they had criminal justice. The U of U didn't have criminal justice. Weber State did. So, and then I saw the 99% acceptance rate, and I was like, that's my school. So yeah. I applied and was accepted before Christmas break of my senior year. So I put her on cruise control that spring term of my senior year.
Okay, so at what point at Shattuck did you get the little plugger award?
Oh, what year was that?
That
you
got to
bring that. This is good too. All right, the plugger's prize was for, in the opinion of the faculty, the student who tried the hardest but didn't make the honor roll. So it's essentially the dummy award. It means I tried hard and still didn't make the honor roll.
But his name's on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, my name's on the wall.
If you go to Shattuck right now, his name's still on the wall in, is that Shumway Hall?
Yeah, I think it was 1995 then, so the year I graduated. I think that's the year I got it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, at least they remember you there.
Yeah.
I went there for 3 months, 4 months, and there's no memory of me anywhere in the building. So you end up at Weber State, you end up playing hockey there, that's where we met, the first thing we kind of bonded over was Shattuck when I found out you came there. At the time, nobody knew what Shattuck was. It wasn't a hockey prodigy school. It was a prep school.
It was getting there, and that's when Craig Norwich had taken over and was building things. So guys like Matt Green had played there, and
yep.
Bo Garrett was there. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Levi
Clegg was there with me, yeah. And, you know, as it's developed further. I mean, there's another rink there now. I think there's 7 or 8 teams. It's just incredible now. It's
in fact, they have the old rink. They have the new rink, which they've called the J.P. Parisi Arena.
Right, right.
And now they have the 3-on-3 rink.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they keep growing. It gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you had some hockey after Shattuck. You played 4 years – or at Weber. You played 4 years
at Weber. What's funny about Weber is, like I said, I started playing hockey at Shattuck, where that's a good place to start playing. But played there for 3 years, decided to go to Weber State, and I thought I was going to play soccer at Weber State. I was like, because I was still a soccer player all through high school. I was like, yeah. But when I was walking around on campus, I never saw anything for soccer tryouts or anything, but there was one for a flyer for hockey tryouts, and I was like, this will work. I'll try this out.
Might as well.
Yeah. And this is before, you know, 95, or it was before widespread internet. There's internet, but not like it is today. So you got to, like, look for stuff. It wasn't stuffed down your throat like it is now. But so I saw the hockey flyer, and I was like, okay, well, yeah. Let's go do that.
See, I knew how to market even back then.
Yeah. Were you responsible for that?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I got a question about Shattuck. So I know a lot of guys that went there, and they said it's haunted. Did you ever run into any ghosts there?
Yeah, there's a tunnel between the boys' dorm and the main building, and there's, like, weird stuff painted on the walls. But there was always, oh, it's haunted, blah, blah, blah. I never saw anything. I saw plenty of weird things at Shattuck, but nothing that was, like, supernatural.
Yeah, Phil's the wrong person to ask about supernatural stuff. He doesn't buy into any of it. All right, so what happens after Weber State? Because you went to Europe. You went you played some roller hockey.
Major League Roller Hockey was a fun one. I was playing for the Washington, D.C. Power. I still have my jersey from that. Oh, I've got a few jerseys. that, like I've said before, it's been long enough where it's okay if people know I stole them because it was so long ago.
Statute of limitations on jerseys? Yeah.
Some RHI training camps. We did the El Paso thing on your anniversary, which is a good time.
My wife brings that up often.
Yeah. God, I was going to recently, but I was like, I'm going to leave it alone this year. I'm going to give you the year off and not bring up El Paso on your 24th anniversary. And then, after 4 years at Weber and almost getting a degree, I got the chance to go to Nijmegen, Holland, and play for the Tigers there for a season. And that was a nice experience. I had a really cool rink there. It was called Triavium, where there's the rink and then the stands, kind of like trying to picture a rink around here that would equate to it, but. Picture, you know, a rink with the stands all around it, seats probably 4,000. And then above the stands was a big speed skating oval on the, you know, above the stands. So they had an elevator that took the Zamboni from the main level up to the speed skating oval so they could make the ice up there. It's like, wow, I've never seen anything like that in the States. And
yeah, that's crazy.
This is a cool deal. Speed skating is super big in Holland and for... I don't know why, but it is. So, I mean, there's a lot of speed skating stuff there, too. So,
all right, cool. So, and Evan, where were you this season?
I was in Kirkcaldy, Scotland. It's close to Edinburgh.
Yeah, you know how to say it, all right? None of these clowns are, we're going to Edinburgh. It's not Edinburgh. It's Edinburgh. You swallow that G, man. Right? It's
the one part of the accent I can kind of I can get behind up there.
All right. I always worry what you're going to say when you start saying stuff.
When my eyes light up, you're like, all right, here we go.
So we've got Josh back there. He's got his finger on the edit button, so he's ready.
He's
for
got sweat over
quick
his
draw
too. What's going on?
All right, so, and then Evan, you're working on your master's degree.
Yes.
And this is all driven through hockey. I mean, this is what's cool, is the stories we're about to tell, and we have a limited show today, thanks to traffic, but the stories we're about to tell are all hockey based. I mean, you guys wouldn't be pursuing these things had you not had certain connections through hockey or whatever. But the team you were just with has a setup where you can get your master's degree. And what are you pursuing your master's in?
International Human Resource Management.
All right. I don't know what that does.
Does it manage a hotel or something? Or?
People.
People?
Do you just control people? People? Yeah.
I can get behind that. Right? Like mind control or something? Is that what you're teaching?
That's the dissertation.
Be a master Game of Thrones player.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. And so now all you have left for that is the dissertation?
Yep. So 3 months will probably have to be about 50 pages, give or take. So I got a lot of reading.
So you'll start on that in about 2.5 months, right, if it's due in 3?
Hopefully not, but we'll
not
see.
The plan, but, but things happen. You know.
Start strong, maybe peter off in the middle, and then crush it at the end.
So, and then Phil... Tell us a little bit about, well, let's start with, like, you showed me the drum room at Shattuck, which was a pretty cool experience, where you would always go and just throw on headphones.
I don't even know if that's there anymore. I see Steve Erickson, Rooster Erickson's post about all the changes, all the construction there, and I think it's been, like, 5 years since I've been up there, and like 10 years since we went up for Trelawge, 10 or 15 since we went up for Trelawge, and they're just constantly building and changing stuff. And so, I mean,
I don't think they're tearing down any of the old buildings, though.
Yeah, I don't think so. They're adding a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So you were always a drummer, which is weird because I didn't know that about you the whole time we were at Weber. And then you end up in a band called Rune, and then Rune leads to American Hitman.
Right.
And then tell us about being, for those that don't know, the American Hitmen were basically a band made of Marines, except for you.
Everybody but me. I was on the couch division, couch platoon.
And so now you're the drummer of this band in Marines, and they use that story to be on America's Got Talent.
Right. Season 8 of America's Got Talent. I had no idea what was going on. I just showed up and played when they told me to. I didn't get to really say anything because I obviously wasn't a veteran. But, it was a real great experience. And it's funny because I'll be honest, I don't watch the show, but I'll see people post stuff like this so-and-so was amazing on America's Got Talent, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I barely even watched us on there, let alone anyone else. So
I posted about it all the time. But
so did I.
When you were on there.
I was campaigning real hard.
Yeah. How far did you guys make it?
Well, we made it through three rounds, which was cool. We did the first one was in Chicago, and then a thing in Vegas, and then the live shows in New York City. And that was one of the coolest things was having the experience to play at Radio City Music Hall, which is a world-famous venue in downtown New York where, just not a lot of people get a chance to play there. So it was really remarkable, and that kind of shot us out of a cannon, a lot of exposure. So even here, several years later, it's led to stuff where we got to open for Journey last December. We played at the halftime of the Oakland Raiders game and in front of like 50,000 people.
And that was with a brand. So you switched lead singers.
Right. And it's like his second show, I think. We're like, hey, you want to play in front of 50,000 people this month? And then next month, in front of 20,000 people, in front of Journey, and like, yeah, all right.
I guess so.
And he did no problems?
Yeah, he did great. He's injected a lot of new energy, and energy mainly because he's young. So I like that youthful energy that I don't have anymore. And maybe never did, it could be argued, but it's good to have a guy like that, yeah.
All right, so what else? So you guys have basically been on tour ever since that show. What year was America?
That was 2013. So, yeah, then we started hitting it in the Midwest a lot and East Coast and stuff. But then we were lucky enough to get on the Armed Forces Entertainment Circuit. So that's put us through, like, Europe and places like Jordan and Egypt. We've done 5 or 6 of those. And then we'll be playing on July 3rd at Yokota Air Force Base in Japan. Then we're doing our own commercial tour, and by commercial I mean just our own thing. It's not affiliated with the armed forces or anything. It's just we book the shows, we go do everything. And but when you played in Scotland, did you ever go to Bannerman's club in Edinburgh? We've played there a few times. We'll be there in October. So, and I've built a couple of extra days into that trip to just drive through the Highlands.
Yeah,
because it's looks great. Incredible. So
the cows with the hair over their eyes, and
is it the emo cows? Is that what they've got?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll keep an eye out for that. Right?
Look for the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Do those cows taste better?
I don't know. They just look cool.
they've got a great sense of
style. Good
man.
Style. Yeah, nice. There's nothing like style in your dinner. All right, so this is pretty amazing, though. So, and you guys have both, like, through hockey and through the band, have been to a lot of the same places, and then I just get to live vicariously and watch you guys on Facebook.
We actually almost crossed paths when I was in Romania.
Oh, that's right. You were like 4 hours away. I remember asking you about that. We were out in, I don't even know. It's funny. We go to some of these places, and I'll, like, pull up a screenshot of where we're at on the map, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Just like, it's wild. We played some island off of Portugal, the Azores or something like that, and it was just, it's like the coast of Portugal, and then like halfway back towards the United States, this island out in the middle of nowhere, and we got to play at Air Force Base there, and I looked at it on the Google map, and I was like, wow, we're way out there. Same with this, like, forward operating bases in Egypt. I was like, man, this is a trip.
You get to see some amazing stuff, and both of you have it. It's just, it's crazy to see the stuff, and you guys don't post that often. You're not exactly Facebook fanatics, but it's crazy when you guys are on these trips and playing in these weird places. And Evan, like you said, last year was Romania, and you went to looked for Dracula's Castle and yep. stuff like that.
And table service for $20, right? Whatever
yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Live like a king. They almost
yeah.
pay you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it was crazy because I knew you guys were both at the same place and I was trying to coordinate with you guys and say, hey, you guys are both in the same, but I didn't know that.
We did look into it. Yeah, it was like 4 hours away from where we were. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Didn't work out, but still funny.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Evan, do you know what's up for you next season with hockey? We talked a little bit yesterday.
Not sure. Just kind of my main focus right now, mentioned before, is the dissertation, obviously. And yeah. then just kind of wait and see what my agent can come up with.
I can see Evan getting into
good.
Coaching. Coach Stoffler.
Coach Stoffler.
I mean, look, Craig Berube and Steve Ott are coaching the St. Louis Blues. And yeah. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's like, those two knuckleheads is like I couldn't see them running a high school team, let alone an NHL team in the Stanley Cup Finals. But I guess they got the hockey smarts. So I mean, like,
right, that's exactly
we'll
what
see.
I see. Steve, I'm not going to say anything negative about Steve because he's mean.
It might get back to him.
I really like that guy. He's super
he's
nice,
fantastic, great player, super nice guy.
Must be really hockey smart because he didn't strike me as that other smart. But yeah,
who knows? I mean. A lot can come up in a short period of time.
Are you going to try to play? Are you?
Yeah, yeah. See what's available. And
who's your agent again?
Dave Amante.
Oh yeah, Dave Amante.
Friend of the show.
He texted me the other day. He's in California. He said somebody came up to him and recognized him from the show. Just like, oh, you were on the Utah Puck Report. Was talking about
build the brand a bit. Yeah. That's good.
I'll make him famous.
Perfect.
Who did I say that to yesterday? I said that to one of you yesterday. Come on the show, I'll make you famous.
That was me, yeah.
You didn't think it was that
funny? I wasn't that impressed, no.
Already famous.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. I'm like, well, let's see. You're an America's Got Talent. They've got millions and millions of viewers, but, you know, I've got, like, almost 1,000 probably.
Yeah. Dozens of people.
Dozens of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars.
All right, so, Evan, we're hoping for you. Like, we're really hoping that things go well for you and that you get your dissertation done this off season, pull another season out.
So do you want to play somewhere besides where you were last year?
Or? Yeah, I'd like to branch out from the UK. I was there the past year and then half of the year before. Things didn't work out in Romania, so I ended up
You played in China, didn't you, also in Denmark? And it's weird because at that level, it's like you may or may not get paid. The gear may or not be there.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of deal.
Asia was actually awesome.
They were probably the most professional.
I mean, paychecks would come in early. That's unheard of.
Uh-huh.
It was basically carte blanche. Get as much of whatever you want.
Whatever you wanted or needed. Huh?
Yeah, so that was good. But yeah, some of the other places I've been, it's been. I'm still owed a paycheck from one of the teams in Denmark, and that was, I don't know, 7 years ago, so I don't think I'll be seeing that.
Yeah, it was similar in Holland, where it's the clubs struggle with money every year. They're constantly trying to find sponsors and whatnot. So, I mean, it's a battle every year for the teams to even exist a lot of times. You know, it's not like we're here. You know the Grizzlies are going to be there next year unless they move or whatever, you know. But they're, it's obviously soccer is the main sport. So that's where all the money and main attention goes to. So, but you know, these teams in the hockey C nations is, you know, it's a battle every year. They struggle sometimes. So sometimes the players get the short end.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it was with us in roller hockey, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
We'd play for teams, and, like, I got stranded. The 1 year, like, you were in D.C., and I ended up in Phoenix, and then as the Phoenix team, we ended up going to L.A. for our training camp. And while at training camp, we just stopped getting paid.
Uh-huh.
So you had two teams. You had the L.A. Blades.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix Cobras, which I was a part of. And we were all in the same hotel. We're all training at the same arena, and we all stopped getting paid at the same time, except for they had just acquired Rob Lowry, the superstar goalie from the Anaheim Bullfrogs, and he was the only one still getting paid.
Uh-huh.
Out of 40 guys, one guy was still getting paid, and he ended up going back to the Bullfrogs, and he's like the only guy anybody knows. But I got stranded in L.A. I had to find my own way back to Utah.
Uh-huh.
My car still in Phoenix. My Volkswagen bus still in Phoenix, and I had to find a way to go back, get my bus, and come back to Utah.
Hitting up Cherno for a loan, short-term loan. Yeah.
The weird thing is the disparity. There'll be teams that are just struggling, and then there's teams that have, in the same league, there's no like governing body, essentially, that kind of keeps things all on the up and up. So you'll have, I mean, obviously those teams usually win because they have the most money, everything works out, everything's run professionally, and then you have a team that's, I mean, extremely bad at literally everything.
So,
how was your team though?
This past year, they were all right.
Middle of the road, they did.
Yeah, they. I mean, things could be better, but things could have been a lot worse. Yeah.
Okay. So, in those teams, there's no salary cap or anything like that. So, players, they can. It's not like they're paying guys under the table. They're just paying guys whatever they want.
Yeah, sky's the limit.
Limit on the imports.
Limit on the imports. So the UK is, I believe, 14. Which
that's a lot. Wow. And that's like it could be your whole team, basically.
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem with some of the fans there because a lot of the local guys don't get as much playing time.
Right.
And so, like, the development falls. You look at the UK team that played at the World Championships, they're mostly all North Americans that have a UK passport.
They're married in or whatever, yeah.
Well, that's kind of the it's one of the things that I do not like about the Western States League, the WSHL here, is and I like the league and I like the teams that we have here, but the teams that we have here, the Ogden Mustangs, which is like I would say 4/5 of it is imports from Sweden and
they have a lot of Czechs. I went to a couple games last year and they seemed to have a lot of Europeans. I think their goalie was maybe even Russian or something like that.
And it's the same with the Outliers now. They're the majority, there's like one or two Utah kids on each team.
Like Matt Green's kid played for the Outliers, I remember. Yeah, I saw him in the game. So.
He came in and it was cool. And we highlight those kids and point it out. And this year I think Ogden had more.
That team
Utah
dominated
players.
Though. The Ogden team was really, really good this year.
Yeah.
Is there a limit in that league?
I don't think there is. I'll have to look into it, but I don't think there is, since most of the entire team of Ogden has been imports. So I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I want to have those coaches up here and talk to them about the league.
So is that a function of their coaches or owners? I asked you about who owns Ogden, and you said it's these people out of Fresno or something with the oil money or whatever. So.
Yeah, and they're great owners.
Right. They're well funded. They got a nice boss and everything.
Yeah, they really care about the organization and they really care about the team. And
it goes a long way.
Jake LeMay goes out and brings in he wants to win. He wants to build a solid team, and he doesn't get that. You know, he gets one or two, three Utah players. You know, like our best players are gone.
Right.
And then our other players are trying to go somewhere, and then you get the players in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then everything else seems to be European. So it's that weird mix, because you'd love to see an Ogden team of all Ogden players and a Salt Lake team of all Salt Lake players.
Didn't you see that one year with the Ogden Blades?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Point well taken, Phil.
Yeah.
Hey, we won like 2 games.
It looked like it was 0-40. Did you play for them?
But I was in town. That was when I was living somewhere else, and I came in town.
So you were an import, huh? Yeah, you were supposed commuter. To help.
Commuter.
Right?
I was there long enough to get a bag and pick up 4 losses over
who
the weekend.
Was it? It's like I think Todd Nate always had the Ogden Blades.
Yep,
bag.
Yep. Todd Nate, Brandon Manick. I had a bag. But yeah, all through Weaver, those were the bags.
There
we
were some fun stories that we heard about the Ogden Blades, but
yeah, they almost all revolve around Brandon Manick beating somebody up.
Could see that.
I've had enough of this game. Let me go tune someone up and get kicked out.
It was a good game, and then I think I only played 4 games. I was only home for like Christmas or something like that, and we played 4 games, and Brandon was in it, and he was competitive right up until we gave up 3 or 4 goals, and then he just looked for the first guy to light up. I've tried like 5 or 6 times to get Brandon on this show, and he just keeps saying, nope, not coming on. He's like, I know you're just going to make fun of me. I'm not coming on. So that kind of sucks. All right, so Evan, you're in town for the rest of summer.
Yep.
And
off and on. I'm going to help coach a team that's going to a tournament in July. And then I'm maybe going to a wedding in France, so I'll be kind of back and forth.
Coaching what team?
I believe it's Utah Altitude, I think it's called. It's the thing that Dave's set up.
Oh,
going
cool.
Back to the Chowder Cup.
Where's the tournament?
Chowder Cup, right outside of Boston. Okay. Boston.
I figured that out when you said Chowder Cup.
Yeah. Chowder.
Chowder. Chowder head.
I played in that tournament when I was 17, I believe. And it's great exposure. NHL college. I mean, obviously, with so many colleges so close out there, they're going to go there and kind of get a head start on the season. And
what
see
age group is this that you're coaching?
Under 18.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yep.
Get some
teenagers running amok is what it sounds like to me.
Payback
time.
Man, exactly. No kidding. How were you on those trips? How were you at the Chowder Cup? Were you in bed at bed call and then gone or just gone?
I was, here and there. Depending on what opportunities presented themselves, I'd be.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's cool. I want to hear more about that. Maybe we'll have to have you and Dave up and tell us about that, because that sounds awesome. And
new experience for me. I've never really done anything like that.
Have they already done tryouts and stuff?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, how they put the team together, is it?
I'm not really sure. Dave kind of asked me if I wanted to help out.
Really in tune with what's going on.
Bad internet in Scotland, it's tough to connect.
It's a lot of like the band stuff with me. It's like, I don't know, man. I just show up and play, man.
So I'll just send you a calendar invite.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is what you do for a living. You're going to show up when they tell you to.
Yeah.
And other than that, you know, let them worry about it, right, Phil?
Transfer knowledge.
Yeah. Just
transfer all my knowledge.
That's authority's been delegated. Those are the details I don't have to worry about, all right?
Yep.
So that's your plan for the rest of summer. You're going to be here. We'll have you on the show several times. I'll have you up and keep telling your story and see what's going on. We'll follow you during the summer. Phil, what's your summer?
We've got some. Oh, I was telling our
Justin,
Josh about we got some local and regional stuff coming up this month, like the All American Throwdown in Josh's hometown of Elko, Nevada.
What is that?
It's mud drags and a rock concert. So.
Oh, okay. I was hoping for mud wrestling or something.
Oh, man, I would be all over that. Incredible. But
competing or spectating?
Competing. Nice. Oh, yeah. some stuff for Flaming Gorge, something other days in Flaming Gorge. And then, like I said, we really get rolling in July. We go to Japan, come back, head out to the Midwest for a few. Oh, we go through like Kentucky and Nashville and Wisconsin and stuff. Then probably do a bunch of shows at Sturgis in August, which is fun to go to Sturgis and make money and not spend money because it gets expensive in a hurry. And then back through the Midwest in September, and then, like I said, like October, the whole month of October, we'll be going through Holland, Belgium, Scotland, Wales, England, Austria. Just got a confirmed date in Italy. We've got three or four shows in Italy, Germany, Austria, and then, I like building and touristy kind of stuff in those trips too, because it's not like we get to go to Europe every day. So we're going to swing through a little bit of Hungary, Croatia.
Are you guys playing new stuff? Do you have a new album?
We just recorded I'll have to send you the video. We just recorded a new song, and I'm actually going to submit it to the Grizzlies, because I've talked about it for years with Jared about, we need to do a song for the Grizzlies, you know, warm up music, blah, blah, blah. And I've never gotten anything to him. Now I have a perfect song for it. So it's, we made a little promo video for it. I'll send it to you. You check it out. And then once it's all mixed and mastered, I'm going to get it to Jared Youngman with the Grizzlies, and see about them, using it during the upcoming season, because that'd be a trip to, you know, go to the watch the Grizz warm up, and there's your music.
Okay, well, you can't badmouth their parking if you.
I know, I gotta be careful about stuff like that.
Get perfect parking, then pull up right to the door if you're the music
guy.
You
know what? If I got a parking pass, complimentary. I'd have nothing but good things to say about it.
That's a fair exchange, then, right? All right, so your stuff's available on iTunes. We might as well plug it while you're on right now.
That's one of those falls into the details that I don't really know. Yeah, it's iTunes. We've got a Facebook page, so go like that. And YouTube, we put stuff on YouTube. That's a thing nowadays, right?
Yeah, YouTube. I think.
Yeah, yeah. iTunes, I think Spotify or whatever. I don't use any of this stuff, honestly. I sit down and hit things with sticks, man.
Are you guys available on cassette tape? Or is that how you listen to your
music? We talked about vinyl, but it's prohibitively expensive, I guess. But yeah, all right, new songs. We've recorded one. It's killer. Probably in the next couple weeks, we'll go in and record like 7 or 8 brand new songs. And our cover version of Green Jelly's Three Little Pigs, that's always been a hit. Do you know that one?
I had that single cassette.
We play that, and it's the only song
Rambo
we do.
In there.
Yeah. We have it's the only song we do that I know all the words to. So
that's a great music video.
Yeah,
that's awesome. All right, well, that's very cool, and you guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. It's exciting to see the stuff you guys are doing. I mean, we've all been friends for as long as I can remember, Evan, since you were a kid. We brought you in.
Over 20 years, man.
Tried to raise you since you were a pup.
Yeah. Put him in all the best schools, and you just hope for the best, you know?
Get me kicked out of casinos.
Oh, yeah. One of us kicked out of a casino. I do remember that. I had to fast talk our way out of that. That's too bad we're on KSL. We could tell all those stories. All right. Well, guys, it's been fun. I hope everybody else has enjoyed it. We've got a lot of cool stuff like this coming up this summer. So if you haven't subscribed yet, text the word PUCK See, Phil, this is how you promote yourself. You say things like, text the word puck to 57500.
Take notes.
I'm going to do it right now.
He's trying to do it right now. All you got to do is go to 57500, text the word puck, and then that subscribes you.
That's and if a you, new font I'm struggling with here. 57500.
Get the keyboard
500.
Out.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, puck. I think I've done this at some point.
And that subscribes you. If you can't do that, go to kslsports.com, look up podcasts. You'll have to filter through all the Scott Mitchell ones and then find the Utah Puck Report. We're right there. And really, that's it. Evan Stofflet, Phil Snyder, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
Had a good time. Fun.
Josh, I don't think you had to bleep anything. Maybe next time.
I'm a radio veteran, man.
I am not. There could be one for me coming at some point.
All right, we'll turn off the mic. All right, until next time, that was the Utah Puck Report.